Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. I don't know about where you're at, but spring really feels like it's here. There are actually beautiful blue skies, and I'm itching to go out for a walk. With springtime coming, it's also the time to start thinking about filing taxes for the previous year. In fact, it's possible that you've already filed your tax return. Most people will file their tax return by the deadline of April 15th, 2024. Remember, this is also the deadline for any contributions to any individual retirement accounts or IRAs, including doing your backdoor Roth IRA contribution. So if you haven't done that yet and you plan to, set aside some time to do that soon. Many people file their tax return early if they're expecting a refund. After all, you want to get that money back. On the other hand, if you owe money to the government, then maybe you'll actually delay filing until April 15th so you can keep your money for a little longer. Depending on your investments, you may also need to file a tax extension because you haven't received all the necessary tax documents in order for you to file your taxes. This is especially true when investing in real estate syndications as well as real estate funds, because you often don't get your K-1s until after the April 15th deadline. If 2023 was the first year that you ever invested in a real estate syndication, then you probably want to go ahead and file a tax extension now. Filing a tax extension allows you up until October 15th to file your taxes. That being said, the IRS still wants you to actually pay what taxes you're likely to owe, so you will want to make any payment if you do think you're going to owe taxes in order to avoid a penalty. Some people love getting tax refund because they feel like they're getting money that they weren't necessarily expecting to have. And of course, most people don't actually like to pay more taxes or have to make another payment on tax day. When you're getting a tax refund, it really means that you gave the government an interest-free loan. It means that you overpaid in taxes and the government got to hold that money and use that money without actually giving you anything for using that money. You don't get paid any interest on the money the government's been holding. With current high-yield savings accounts paying anywhere between 4 and 5% interest, having money sitting with the IRS that's paying no interest is really not the best of ideas. The sweet spot is probably to owe just a little bit of taxes on tax day, something like a few hundred dollars. Of course, it can be really difficult to get to that sweet spot depending on your personal financial situation. It depends on how many deductions you have, as well as what your streams of income look like. This is something where I personally always have to talk to my CPA about how much to pay, so I don't have to pay any penalty when I eventually file my taxes before October 15th. So here are some updates, as well as some tips to make it easier to file during this tax season. The standard deduction has increased for 2023, so it is now $27,700 for a married couple filing jointly, which is an increase of $1,800 over the 2022 standard deduction. For single or married filed separately, it's $13,850, which is up $900 compared to 2022. Tax brackets have also been adjusted for inflation, which we know inflation has been relatively high recently. Hopefully, this results in paying less taxes than you did last year. However, if you're paying more taxes because you have more income, then at least focus on the fact that you made more money, which is generally a good thing. The Earned Income Tax Credit also has new income limits and credit amounts to reflect the higher cost of living as well as inflation. Of course, it's unlikely to help any working physician since the most amount of earned income you can have to qualify is less than $64,000 for the year, and that's if you have three children. Student loan interest deduction has also returned. So if you've been making payments on your student loans in 2023, then you may be able to deduct up to $2,500 of your student loan interest that you paid on your federal tax return. Unfortunately, you have to have a modified adjusted gross income of less than $70,000 if filing singly or $145,000 if filing jointly to qualify for the full deduction. You can get a partial deduction if your modified adjusted gross income, or MAGI, M-A-G-I, is between $70,000 and $85,000 for single filers, and between $145,000 and $185,000 for those that are married filing jointly. Most attending physicians won't qualify for this, but if you're a resident or fellow and making payments on your student loans, then it's possible you would qualify, and it is something to look into. The IRS has also been rolling out some new improved online tools for taxpayers for this year's tax season. The idea is to make it easier for you to file your taxes, pay your bills, and protect your identity against fraudulent tax return filing. If you're eligible, you can even file your taxes directly with the IRS for free. The direct filing pilot is rolling out gradually in 2024, and it's expected to be available to the public by mid-March. This is a pilot program that offers a step-by-step guidance and live online support so that you can complete your tax return using your smartphone, tablet, or your computer. You can also create an online account where you can set up a PIN in order to protect your identity and also be able to make payments or set up a payment plan, as well as review information like your most recent tax return. The website for creating your own online account is www.irs.gov/payments/your-online-account. I'll have all the websites available in the show notes, so it'll be much easier for you to click on. The IRS also now has a refund tool that provides updates to let you know what your current refund status is. You can find out by going to www.irs.gov/where's-my-refund. Again, check out the show notes for all these links. The IRS also offers opportunities for you to actually get help in person as well as by phone. There are tax assistance centers that provide in-person service, and you can find the nearest location to you at www.irs.gov/help/contact-your-local-irs-office, all in lowercase. Of course, you don't have to leave your own home or office in order to get help. You can use the IRS helplines, which are available Monday through Friday. The toll-free number for individual tax returns is 1-800-829-1040. If you need help for filing your business return, the number is 1-800-829-4933. The most important thing to getting your tax return filed is actually setting aside all the time to get it done. Whether it's putting together all the necessary paperwork for your CPA or actually doing the filing yourself through some tax filing program. The documents you'll need to gather include all your W-2s and 1099s. You should receive a W-2 from any employer where you work at as a W-2 employee, and you should receive a 1099 for anywhere that you've done contract work or from any business where you've gotten a payment of $600 or more dollars. Technically, if you have a business and you got a payment less than $600, you're still supposed to report that to the IRS. You'll also have 1099 interest documents from any bank where you're getting interest or any brokerage firm as well. These are usually available for you to download from their website. If you have any kind of business or side gig, you'll need to figure out all the income and expenses for that business. This is true for any rental properties you own as well. As I mentioned before, depending on your investments, you may also be issued K-1s. If you sold any investments, you also need to figure out your cost basis for the investment to calculate your capital gains on that investment. You'll want to find the supporting paperwork for that as well. Other income information that you'll want to collect include documentation if you receive any alimony or any Social Security benefits. If you've taken out any distribution from any individual retirement account, you'll want to get that paperwork as well. And then you may also have had some miscellaneous income. For example, maybe gambling winnings, or if you perform jury duty, or even potentially scholarships. If your tax return is simple and all you have is W-2 income and you're taking the standard deduction, then it's probably best to just e-file, potentially using the IRS software or other software like TurboTax, H&R Block, or TaxAct, to name a few. Of course, if your tax return is more complex, then you'll want to start gathering this information and work with a CPA. Hopefully, you've already found a CPA by this point to do your 2023 tax return. The sooner you start the process, the more time you'll have to track down all the missing information. And remember, you can always file for an extension. I don't know anyone who loves tax time, but you can make it a little less stressful and a little easier on yourself by beginning early and really collecting all the documents. Whenever tax documents come in the mail, I tend to take a photo of them in order to have an electronic version and then file them in a folder specific for tax documents for the year. On my computer, I have a folder for taxes and then within that, a folder for each tax year's tax documents. This is the organization system I use, but of course, figure out an organization system that works for you. If you're having to go through all the receipts or spending for any of your businesses or real estate investments, what I like to do is try to keep as much as possible all the transactions through my business bank account or business credit card, and then those transactions can all be downloaded into a spreadsheet. Once it's in the spreadsheet, it becomes a little easier to organize into separate categories, which my CPA once reported. I personally find it easiest to set aside several hours in order to work on one set of what I need to calculate for my taxes. For example, I will try to calculate everything for a specific real estate investment all in one sitting so that I'm not forgetting where things are, where I'm at when I have to come back to it. Of course, I may take breaks within that time, but like short breaks, as opposed to trying to work on it for half an hour at a time, and then coming back and not sure where I was. That personally works for me, but of course, you've got to figure out what works for you as well. My CPA has specific tax worksheets to fill out, and so I tend to do one worksheet at a time and tend to keep a record of everything that I'm sending to my CPA. If you've got any other tax tips or things that you do in order to help you file taxes, I'd love to hear it. You can always reach me by sending me an email at growyourwealthymindset@gmail.com. I hope this episode has been helpful and good luck getting your taxes together. Thanks for being a listener of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant, or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.